Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Boy, that's a big word. You might ask what that is. Well, that's what the scripture is all about. This is the day that the church celebrates Christ's transfiguration upon the mountain. Here's something for you to think about. Did you know that the Greek word translated as transfiguration is the word metamorphothe, from which we get the word metamorphosis. I'll bet we know what that word means. The dictionary defines metamorphosis as a transformation, a complete change of appearance and form. The best example we have of metamorphosis is the transformation of the caterpillar into butterflies. Now, that process thrills people, right? We are all thrilled about finding, I know the kids do projects. They take little caterpillars and then they see how it turns into butterflies. The monarch butterfly migrates. It's capable of flying such far distances, and when you think of a butterfly, you wouldn't think that can hold that far distance flight. But it's amazing, isn't it? The caterpillar becoming a butterfly. There's an old story about two caterpillars who are watching the chrysalis. A chrysalis is to a butterfly what a cocoon is to a moth. Suddenly, the chrysalis bursts open to reveal a beautiful butterfly that stretches its wings and flies away. One caterpillar turns to the other and says, "You'll never get me up on one of those things." Well, in the wonderful way God has created the world, the caterpillar will, sooner or later, get up in one of those wonderful, one of those things, isn't it? I think it's interesting that the term indicates the transfiguration, you know, the translation, metamorphosis, the butterfly, the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And I'm not saying this is what happened to Jesus. He was not a caterpillar turned into a butterfly. But what happened to Jesus on the mountaintop is what I'm thinking happens to each one of us when we leave this life and enter into eternal life. Pause for a moment and recall the reading that was in our gospel lesson this morning. Here is Peter, James, and John going up the mountain with Jesus to pray. Jesus is trying to get away for some time to spend some time with the Lord, with his Father. And there it is. There it is. The disciples, these three disciples, witness this transfiguration. They witness of the bright light. They witness Elijah and Moses. They witness Jesus, who was standing with them in this human body, transform and looked glorious. I mean, you could read that scripture again and try to understand. And it is hard. It's a mystery. It's hard for us to understand. But I'm imagining that's what it is like when we leave this earth, enter into eternal life. Think about this. Elijah, Moses. You know, Moses, 1,200 years before Jesus. Elijah, 850 years before. appear at the same place with Jesus, standing with them, having a conversation, and Jesus turning into this glorious way. And they hear the voice, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Do you remember this at his baptism? Listen to him. And God is revealing this to these three disciples. You know, they were these two prophets, Elijah and Moses, but considered the greatest prophets. And Jesus is joining them in that glorious moment. And only these three disciples get to see, experience. You know, sometimes we ask that question, don't we? You know, how come we don't get to see this? How come I don't get to do this? God chooses in his own way, in his own wisdom. You know, it is not because we were good or bad or because this or that, but God in his own gracious, merciful way looks at our hearts and prepares us and finds us to do certain things, to be at certain places, to witness certain moments. You know, this is a holy moment that these three disciples get to see and experience. And the other disciples were not. But that doesn't mean that these three were any special. Well, let's look on. I mean, here they are. They don't want to come down the mountain. I mean, they've had this great experience. But then later they come down with Jesus. Jesus brings them down. And the next moment, Jesus says to Peter, "You know, I will suffer and die." And Peter goes, "Oh, Lord, you can't do that." And what does Jesus do? Jesus rebukes Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 23. Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me," in other words. "You do not have in mind that concerns of God." One moment he is the rock, right? Jesus says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And the next moment, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Do you see the ups and downs of life? Do you see the ups and downs that we go through? You and I are just like Peter. You know, sometimes we are in this holy moment. We are close to Jesus. We are like best buddies, right? And the next moment, he might be saying, "Get behind me. Don't interrupt me. This is God's will for me." Suffering was part of what God had planned. Suffering was part of this whole mission and ministry. We are Simon Peter, aren't we? We are Simon Peter. We're just as wishy-washy in our faith. One moment we feel so close to God that we're willing to give him all that we are and hope to be. And in the next moment, you know, we are tested and we are fallen. But that doesn't mean that God forsakes us. It doesn't mean that Peter doesn't turn out to be the rock. It is interesting to to notice that, you know, when you're with the Lord, when you crave to be with Him. A good example is when Moses went up to the mountain in Exodus chapter 34. You see Moses up waiting for the commandments, and then he comes down to be with the people, but he is aglow. They couldn't see him. He was so bright. They had to put a veil to cover his face. They couldn't come near Moses. You know, God calls us to come closer to Him. You know, again, this 46 days of fasting and prayer. Well, I'm not promising you you're going to be glowing and coming down. Well, you might. Tell me when that happens to you. It might happen. But God is calling us to come closer to Him, to walk closer with Him, that He could share things with you. And then we need to come down. We need to come and mingle, rub shoulders with our brothers and sisters around to share what God has shared with us, to give that to others, what we have experienced. And that's what our next passage of Scripture talks about Elijah and Elisha. As you read that whole chapter, 2 Kings chapter 2, and that whole story there about Elisha and Elijah. Elijah is their mentor, and Elisha is learning, his student. And Elisha knows that Elijah is going to be taken away. So Elisha follows Elijah very closely. Like, I'm going to be right with you. I'm going to be with you because you've got to bless me before you go. Okay. But several places as you read, Elijah says, okay, go and sit somewhere. Or go, I'm going to Damascus. Or I'm going here, I'm going there. And Elisha is like, nope, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I will be with you because I need to be blessed. The double portion. Look how intense or how committed he is. He is not going to let go of God's blessings upon him and his ministry. And he receives it. He receives it. How many of you have had mentors that you have worked with? How many of you are mentors yourself? I know when confirmation class, you know, when we join them, they have mentors, and the new members have mentors. If you are a mentor, think about what God has put upon you to be that person to share with your, I call them mentees, those students, those who walk with you. What impact are you making? This morning I was talking with someone, and she said how she wants to share God's love with her family. And I said, oh, that's really hard. You know, family, they're so close. It's just hard to share your faith and your story. And then she said, it's very interesting, she said, they watch every step. they watch you. Okay, you're sharing about Jesus, fine, but I'm going to watch you. They're watching so closely. Your mentees, you know, those who walk with you that you're mentoring, are watching you. How can you teach them what God has taught you? And there is Elisha and Elijah. What an example. And Elisha receives that double portion. receives. I mean, his ferventness, he just sticks with it. And he receives God's blessings upon his ministry and life. My friends, this morning as we come, as we ponder transfiguration, and as we ponder those mysteries that we sometimes don't even understand, but to know that we are just like Peter, James, and John. But what happened to them after Jesus was taken up to be with God the Father? Jesus said, I will send you a comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit to bless you. You will even do better things, better works than what I have. That's what Jesus promised. You will do greater things. Could you imagine that? Greater things than I? I look at Elijah and Elisha. Elisha did greater things, yes. And that is God's promise for you and for me. May the Lord help us this Transfiguration Sunday to not be discouraged of who we are, not to just look at others and say, well, they've got gifts, they've got talents, I have none. But you have been chosen. You have been named and chosen by God. You are special. You are special. Yes, we do all have faults, but the Lord forgives us. He embraces us, and he gives us a new opportunity, a greater opportunity. All we need to do is just step up, be fervent, be committed, and to ask the Lord to bless us, empower us with his Holy Spirit, that we can go into the world, we could go into our neighborhoods, be the reflection of Christ, and impact others that are around us. May the Lord help us this morning that we will be transformed to touch other lives that God has put within our proximities. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, even to just pause and imagine transfiguration. The moment that we will be transfigured as we enter, Lord, your kingdom. What a glorious place. What a glorious moment. And Lord, you just gave us a glimpse of what it is to come. Give us faith, give us courage, O Lord, that we will be committed to the end. That we will not let go. But Lord, to receive your blessing, a double fold, a double portion, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to go and to be the witnesses, to go and be your witnesses. So help us, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.